Fulford here in Cynthiana with Miss Marilyn Walsh, and we're going to talk a little bit about Cynthiana and growing up in Cynthiana Banneker High School and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So how are you doing today, Miss Walsh?
I'm doing fine. We had church this morning, and then I came home and was able to enjoy sports. I do love them all, basketball and football mainly.
I can tell. Well, why don't we just start out by you just telling me a little bit about your childhood and growing up in Cynthiana and schooling and that kind of thing.
Okay, well, I was born and raised here in Cynthiana. When I was growing up, the community was separated in a sense of all the blacks lived in one area, and we lived in the area of the school, Banneker School, and all the churches were pretty much located in the same area. And there was not very much intermingling of races at that time, because we could not go to the restaurants, you know, to eat. We couldn't go to the other churches to worship. Everything was pretty much contained right in our own community. In the black community, that is. My parents, my mother was from Ohio, and my father was from Cynthiana. But they believed in, well, if you can't get it here in Cynthiana, we'll take you to where you can get it. So they took us to Cincinnati to see opera. They took us to Louisville. They took us to wherever we could go for cultural, you know, development, so to speak. And they were insistent that that we learned. I learned music. My mother taught me. She taught me Latin because I wanted to be a nurse. And they constantly were trying to teach us it was important to prepare yourself. You know, you got to be prepared. Doors won't necessarily be open to you, but if you are prepared, then you can demand that they be open. And so we learned, we didn't have a curriculum in high school that you selected. they planned it for you, so we had every kind of subject, you know. And fortunately, when I went off to college, I was in the top third of my class as to chemistry, because my dad was in science and he taught us chemistry. So many of them failed the first quarter, and so consequently they had to take it again before they could move on. So it helped to prepare us as far as education was concerned. When I graduated from high school, I knew I could go, well, my parents knew I could go to school in Ohio, you know, because it was a difference between Kentucky and Ohio as far as segregation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I went to school. And my sister also went to the same place.
Ohio State. Now, where was your mother exactly from?
Urbana, which is Champaign County. Next to Springfield.
Ohio? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where she was born and raised.
Okay.
And she was taught music because she went to a Catholic school. And so she taught all of us music of some sort or other. You know, my sister and I play, and my brother, he tried the drums, but it didn't last too long. But anyway, they just believed that we need to be exposed to everything that we could be. We needed to learn to do everything we could. And I think their foresight helped us, you know, prepared us for the future. Mm-hmm. And then I went off to college, and after that, I worked at the University Hospital for a while. And then I went into the Air Force Nurses Corps and went to California. And, of course, and married, and then had to get out of the service because I was expecting my first child. Then you had to get out, you know.
Okay.
Now you can stay in. And through the years, I eventually, that marriage ended, and my dad had metastatic adenocarcinoma of the colon. And because I was a nurse, they asked me to come back and take care of him, which I did with my children, and have been here back home ever since.
When did you move back to Cincinnati?
65.
Okay.
January of 65. And he died in March of 65.
Okay.
And then after the summer months, I started working at the local hospital in October. And I could not get the shift I wanted because some of the nurses said that if they hired me, that they would quit. They just, you know, those were just the way things were back then.
This was
then.
The Cincinnati Hospital?
Cincinnati, Harrison Memorial. And so the director told me, she was very honest about it, and she told me that, and she said, I can give you the night shift, but I can't lose two nurses and gain one. And I appreciated her honesty, mm-hmm. you know. So then I started on the night shift and worked at Harrison Memorial for 28 years, I think it was, mm-hmm. and then retired. Mm-hmm. And I've been here ever since. I love Cincinnati. I mean, I love a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know everybody. I helped to deliver so many babies. And even today, when I go places, people will say, oh, Miss Wash, you took care of me and such, and do you remember you helped me when so-and-so was born? So that in itself makes you feel good, that people did appreciate what you did, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Now, you said that, what was the name of the elementary school you attended? Was that also Banneker?
It was Banneker. It was grades 1 through 12.
Was there any other elementary schools in the city at all?
Oh, for yes.
black elementary schools?
No, that was the only one. It
and
was
then
Banneker.
Countywide, do you suppose that was the only one too?
No. There were county elementary schools, grades 1 through 12. And there was an elementary school in town named Marshall Elementary. And then there was Cynthiana High School.
Marshall was the white elementary school for the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Cynthiana High School was where they went junior high and you know, senior high.
Okay, so Banneker, Cynthiana was a independent system anyway.
Yes.
So Banneker was the central black school for the city anyhow.
The only
K through
one.
12 or
yeah.
Okay.
The only one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how big would a class have been, or maybe how big was that entire school?
100 and some students for the whole school.
Okay,
yeah.
All grades.
Yeah. My graduating class, I think we had 5. but the whole school was around 112, maybe 120 students.
Okay, and you said that the town was rather segregated and contained. It was a word you actually used a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe go a little bit more into race relations as a kid or interactions? Did you ever intermingle with the white kids in playing outside
in,
school
in,
day?
In the neighborhood. Now,
okay.
In the neighborhood, there were white kids that lived in, families that lived in our neighborhood. We played together. They would come over to the school playground, and we would play baseball, we'd play tennis, you know.
At Banneker.
And basketball, the boys would all play together. But it was the adults. I think with children, they are more acceptable, you know, of other children, regardless of race.
Mm-hmm.
The adults were the ones who, you know, they had come up with that idea that you know, that we were not equal. And when the Cynthiana High School would get new books, then Banneker would get the used books. When they would get new basketball uniforms, Banneker would get their rejects.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when you grow up that way, when you can't go in the front door of a show, you have to climb up the fire escape and sit in the balcony. you can imagine what that does to your self-esteem. And when you're treated that way, and when you're called, you know, those different names and everything, it can leave you rather bitter. But my parents instilled in us that we were as good as anybody else, you know, that we were not second-class citizens, and that, you know, if we were prepared, we could do what everybody else did.
And your parents, we haven't actually said their name, I don't think, but tell me your parents' names.
Okay, my mother was named Vivian David. Her maiden name was Fletcher. And my father was named Elmer Omer David. And he was born out in Harrison County, but she was born in Ohio.
And their roles at Banneker were, he was the principal?
He was the principal. Now, he first started out after he graduated from college. He started out in Paris, Kentucky as a football, basketball coach. And then the opening came here for the same season. They first had like grades 1 through 8. And then they would get grades 9 and 10. And finally they got the 12th grade, because for
just having a 12th grade program, you're talking about.
Yeah, for a long time the kids would go to school here from grades 1 through 8, then go to Paris and grades 9 through 12.
Like when your dad was growing up,
yeah.
You're saying?
Yeah.
So Paris had a full high school,
as
of what, maybe 1920s or something?
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, yeah. But now my dad went to what they call an academy at Wilberforce, Ohio. And that's where he finished grades 9 through 12 and stayed there and then graduated, you know, with his degree.
Is that the same as Wilberforce University now? Is that
back then it was just Wilberforce University. Now it's Central State and Wilberforce University.
Okay.
And when he was going to school, he graduated from Wilberforce University. And my mother did, that's where they met.
Okay.
Because she went there and got her...
It's probably closer to where she's from anyway.
Yes,
right?
It was, yes. And she went there and got her what they call normal school certificate, which enabled her to teach. And then eventually she went back and got her Bachelor of Science, or Bachelor of Arts, I think, because this is her Bible that she kept. And I was looking in here to get some accurate, yeah. She received her Bachelor of Science degree in education from Central State, June 1955. So what she did, she went back in the summers.
She was teaching before 1955,
yes, she was
of course.
Teaching. Yeah,
okay.
She was teaching. And she went back in the summers and got her degree from there. And then my dad got his degree there back in the 20s, and then he went to UC and got his master's, and she went to UK and got library science.
After 1950?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
See, as the schools merged, when integration came about, some of the teachers, they didn't have, you know, jobs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she realized that she needed to get something else, so she went library science. Then she got a job as school librarian.
Here in Cynthiana?
Here in Cynthiana, till she retired.
Mm-hmm. What other symbols or institutions of segregation do you recall in Cynthiana besides, you mentioned the theater?
The theater, all of the restaurants. Of course, there wasn't that much in town as far as clothing stores and that sort of thing, but you couldn't try on things. You know, you just had to buy it. If you wanted a shoe size 6, you had to buy it. You couldn't try it on. If you wanted a dress, you had to buy it. And hats, you couldn't try anything on. You know, here in Cynthiana, well, Lexington, Louisville, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it was. And we accepted that in a way because that's the way it was. Mm-hmm. You know, we figured you don't fight City Hall, you know. And so we just made the best of the situation at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. When did your, do you remember, how big was Banneker School? Is it maybe how many, seems like, was there like a big enough to have a gymnasium in there?
Yes.
Was there? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yep. We had a gymnasium. Here's a picture of a basketball team when my dad was the coach.
Uh-huh.
So it had a beautiful gym floor. Beautiful. It was.
Is this the second Banneker school? Like, was there one before this and an even more basic?
This was the one before.
Okay, it's almost just looks like a big house downtown,
yes,
kind
it
of
does.
Thing.
But
okay.
This was the original, and then they tore it down and built this one here.
And is this building still standing?
No. Okay. They tore it down in 64, and now they have a bunch of government low-rent housing over there.
This looks like it would have been built in, what, 40s, maybe? Was that being 40
or
so?
No, in
the 30s. 30s, okay.
Mm-hmm. In the 30s, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take a look at these pictures in a minute.
Okay, just put it right down there. I got them out just so you
That's
could,
nice, yeah.
You could see them. And, let's see. Yeah, and here with this picture. But here's another picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was the original, like that one there. And then this was my dad there.
And this is a write-up done in, looks like, 1974.
I did it.
Oh, this is by you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
74. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, between both of my parents, they gave 60-some years to the local school system, you know, from the years that
combined.
They taught. Mm-hmm. Combined. Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you see as their daughter that you recall about what went into being educators in the black community at that time? What were some things you'd see from, you know, at home or hear them talking about?
Well, one of the main things that I remember is separate and unequal, which is the way the system, you know, it was. The school system was separate, and even though we had our own building and everything, we still did not have equal opportunities. We didn't have typewriters to learn to type unless Cynthiana High School got new ones, and then they sent us the ones that were broken down and that sort of thing. So that was one of the main things that I remember, was separate and unequal. Problems that my dad had trying to go to the school board to get supplies and things like that. Well, we don't have the money, you know, because they figured, well, they had it for theirs, but they didn't have it for us. And trying to get the students to finish school, because a lot of them dropped out, you know, to work. And my dad was instrumental in getting many students to go back to Wilberforce, our central state. It finally became when the state took it over. He was able to get them to go there on scholarships, to get them to go to Kentucky State over here at Frankfort on scholarships. And because they kept telling them, you need to prepare yourself to get, you know, to get out of Cynthiana, to make something of yourself, you need a college degree. And my parents, of course, you know, there was no slacking up as far as lessons or anything. You had to study. You had to get A's if you possibly could, you know, and because they expected a lot out of us.
And you mean students in general, not just family. You mean other than just you being... When you say us, you mean all the students of Banneker?
No, I mean my sister and brother and I.
Okay.
They expected us to be leaders in a way as far as the school was concerned.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so we kind of felt like, you know, we weren't allowed to just be normal kids in a way. It's kind of like being a preacher's kid, you mm-hmm. know? Because everybody was watching us, and we had to do this, that, and the other, and we couldn't go certain places because your parents would find out, and it would be an embarrassment, and that sort of thing. So sure. You're kind of living in a glass house.
I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did your dad ever have to go out and recruit students, or did he go to people's homes and try to convince them to stay in school? Was that ever a role?
He did. He met with the parents and tried to convince them, and many of them, if they're still living to this day, that they have said, "I wish I listened to Mr. Davis." You know, he tried to get me to stay in school and finish, and I just wanted to get out and work. And the reason some of them did was because they worked to help their parents. You know, they were just making just a very minimal wages, and if they had big families, they needed this additional income, you mm-hmm. know. So some of them quit school for that purpose. But yes, he did. He tried to get them to stay in school. He would go out in the county, pick up these boys and bring them in so that they could practice basketball and get some skills, you know. And my mother would try to teach them music or whatever to help, you know, broaden their education and everything. They were very devoted teachers, and they were determined that every child was going to learn. And that, I think, was characteristic of black teachers. You know, they would work with you and all day long, as much time as they could, because they wanted every child to learn, mm-hmm. you know. Whereas you didn't have kids that slipped through the cracks. If they did, it was because you just dropped out of school. But they would, you know, they would determine that every child was going to learn and try to, you know, graduate from high school, because they knew it was important.
What other teachers at Banneker do you recall and why?
Well, we had my mother and father. We had two others that were elementary. We had another man who was a graduate of Banneker who went to Central State, who came back to the community, and he taught math. And then we had another woman who went away to school and came back and taught English and history and stuff like that. We had a home economics teacher, and also a man who taught industrial arts. And that pretty much, and then my mother taught music as well as
about six faculty members or so?
Somewhere along in there.
Seven maybe?
Mm-hmm. Somewhere along in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What percentage of black teenagers do you suppose attended and completed Banneker from around here? You know, the actually graduation rate versus those who chose not to go?
I would say maybe 60%.
That did go.
That did finish, you know, finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say around that neighborhood. And several of them did go away to college, and some of them got married, you know, and that sort of thing, and stayed in the community and, you know, had families and everything. But it wasn't like today that you have to, once 16, you know, you can drop out. But they didn't have GED and all those kind of programs back then, mm-hmm. you know, for them. So I'd say somewhere in that percentage.
I've read a little bit about the successful basketball programs coming out of Cynthiana about the time you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about sports and the school?
They had softball, they had football, and they had basketball. And my dad was in charge of physical education, and so we had a girls' softball team and a boys'. We had the boys' basketball team, and before, when I was a little girl, they had a football team, but they eventually stop that, but they continued with the basketball. And then they played all of the schools in Central Kentucky. The black, other black high schools participated in the Kentucky high school. I can't think of the initials, but it stood for Kentucky Black High School Basketball Association or Athletic Association. Mm-hmm. And they participated in that, played Dunbar High School in Lexington or Douglas High School or Mayo Underwood in Frankfort or, you know, all of
was the what was the Paris school called?
Western.
Western, okay.
Western High School. So we played all of those teams, and then Lewis Stout mm-hmm. had, when he was president of the Kentucky High School
Athletic Association.
He has a football that was from Banneker that had the players had signed their names on it. That was years ago, and I also gave him some other pictures.
That's probably before his time even, right? That ball, oh, yes. The football program had been dropped by...
It was when I was a child.
The football program was probably dropped by 1955 or so, or before
that,
then. Okay.
Way before that. Okay. Yeah, I'd say it was dropped by in the early 40s.
Okay.
Yes, because they just, I guess, didn't have enough students to have a team, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so they dropped it, but they kept on with the basketball.
Did you, as a student, did students go and follow the team and watch them play mm-hmm. at other schools? Mm-hmm. How'd
we
that go?
Had a school bus, and we would all go on that school bus to those other schools and watch them play.
Was there any kind of relationship that would develop amongst the black students from various schools, or was it just... Were they kind of the enemy that day? I mean...
Well, you know how teenagers are. I mean, we would go to these schools to play basketball, and then after the game was over, we'd kind of have a little, you know...
Social gathering,
and we would meet kids from other schools, you know. And we also, along with basketball, had speech tournaments, where we would learn, you know, maybe somebody would learn the creation, to recite the poem of the creation. And we would go and compete, you know, with these other schools. We had a chorus, and we would go, we'd have music festivals, and we would go and compete in those. And that's where we learned, we met a lot of other kids, you know, that were in the other black schools.
Those are usually one-day trip, like mm-hmm. you leave and come back on the same day.
Yeah, leave that morning and come back, be back home by night, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Read a little bit about Coach James Way.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Was he a teacher of yours as well?
He was the one who I said went to Central State, graduated, came back here, and was a teacher at Banneker.
Okay. Yeah. So he's an alumni of Banneker,
yes,
too.
Yes, he taught, and he was also a basketball coach after my dad gave it up. Then James was a basketball coach.
When you were there, was he coach, or was it?
I think he was. Uh-huh, yeah. But, yeah, James Way was alumnus of Banneker and of Central State and taught. Because he taught me in my senior year geometry, and he was also a basketball coach.
What kind of relationships did you see between the coaches and the players?
Well, they seemed to respect the coaches, you know. And a lot of these boys, sometimes they did not have father figures in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so these were father figures for them. They were role models for them. And they looked up to them, you know. And... a lot of them will talk about Coach Way, you know, and also they talked about my dad, you know, how much they respected them and were thankful to have them in their lives, you know. And the same way with the other teachers, many children back then would say, if it wasn't for Miss JT, she was the first, second, and third grade teacher. And they were all very strict as far as disciplinarians, but because they wanted you to learn, you know, and Miss JT would get the strap out and whip you in a minute, you know, if you didn't try to apply yourself. So we'll never forget those teachers. You know, they were very instrumental to, and I mean, they were very helpful and dedicated, you know, wanting us to become somebody. That was what you just got to go to school, you got to graduate in order to be somebody. You know, that was what they kept telling us.
And you graduated in 1952, right? Mm-hmm. And then you went on to Ohio State University.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop this for a second here.
Okay.
Now, were you living in, you were in Columbus then in about 1954, I'm guessing.
Yeah, because I went there.
Was that a four-year?
I went
year?
There in 52, started in September of 52.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When the, excuse me, when integration, you know, when the Supreme Court made the Brown versus Board of Education decision that ultimately would lead to integrating the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall when that happened or what mm-hmm. that would be like for Cynthiana mm-hmm. at all?
Yes, I do, because my brother went to Cynthiana High School. See, they started in the senior high with about the 10th grade.
10 through 12, you mean?
10 through 12. They went maybe the first year or two to Cynthiana High School. Then they would take 6, 7, 8, 9. And then the elementary school, because my mother ended up working in what we call the white elementary school because they tore Banneker down.
Okay.
So, and it my dad always said that he was very proud of Cynthiana as far as integration of the schools because it went smoothly. But I think a lot of it was because of the teachers who tried to talk to the kids and say, you know, you're going up here to school, you'll have more opportunities, you know, but and we expect you to learn and behave, you know. He always said that integration went very smoothly.
That was the teachers, the black teachers kind of communicating that to the black kids, going to go to the...
Mm-hmm.
Integrate the white schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my brother graduated from Cynthiana High School in 58. And then after that, well, you know, all the schools were integrated, and they closed down all the county schools, and all the kids were bused into town, and that's the way the system is now.
Was the general community happy about the coming of integration, you feel? Let's say the black community first. I mean, was it...
I guess they were. You know, the students, I think, saw it as more opportunities for them, you know. Now, the parents might have had some misgivings because of the general feeling, you know, of how they were going to be treated. And there were, I'm sure, some people in the community who did not want it, you know. But the Supreme Court said, hey, this is what you got to do. And so they did it.
As far as you could tell, was the white community pretty accepting of it?
I think they were. I think they were. As far as I could tell, just from what my parents said,
mm-hmm.
you know. There were problems. You know, there were problems. There were names that were called, words that were said, and the black teachers kind of suffered in a way because they did not have openings for all of them, you know. And my mother and father were able to be phased on in. James Way was. One of our teachers who was a home ec teacher ended up working in the lunchroom because they didn't have a job
mm-hmm.
for her in her field. So this was one of the downfalls, you know, as far as integration was concerned back then.
What happened to Banneker? When did Banneker close as Banneker?
It closed, I think, 63, 64.
And did it cease to operate as a
uh-huh.
school altogether?
Altogether.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody moved.
So your dad ended up, what job did he get when that happened?
He went to the junior high school and he taught science.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he became ill and never was able to return, you know, back to that.
He only taught about 2 years at most then, right?
No, he didn't even teach, I don't think, that long. Maybe he didn't even complete a year.
Is that right?
Because he became sick.
Health reasons.
Yeah, health reasons. Our librarian here in town was in his class. And she tells me all the time, you know, we were so sad that Mr. David didn't get to come back because they just really enjoy him as a teacher. And he made science so interesting and everything.
Oh, she was in that particular class.
She was in the class.
Okay. Yeah, so his post-principal.
In the class at the junior high school. Uh-huh. And you know, I met several of them that were in his class. And when they, you know, when he died, they came down to the house to see the remains, and they talked, you know, about how much they missed mm-hmm. him. And we're so sorry he didn't get back, because he really loved teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you might say, well, why didn't you become? None of us became teachers.
Is that right? No. How many total kids are in the family?
There were three.
Okay.
I'm a nurse. My sister is a social worker or whatever. And my brother was in auto mechanics, and then he went in the military. And then when he got out, he became... he was a fireman, a school bus driver, 911 operator, emergency, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, in Lexington.
Uh-huh.
None of us became teachers. None of us did. And none of the grandchildren. I know people say, well, look like some of you all ought to be. Now, my son is a minister, and he does a lot of Christian education.
Where's he?
He's in Texas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he loves education. So he's about the only one. The rest of us have become nurses or whatever.
Do you remember what your brother told you things were like for him as he integrated? Because, you know, you would have been in college. You weren't actually in town.
I wasn't here. I was in college.
But, you know, in addition to the things you've told me about, you've mentioned some things already about the experience. But do you remember anything else about the black kids going to the white schools? Or
They enjoyed being able to play in sports, because I know he played football. And several of them played basketball, and they, you know, the thrill of victory. They had successful teams and everything. Some of them eventually, I think, maybe got into the band, and this was a new experience, you know, for them.
Oh, there was no band?
No, we didn't have a band.
You had some music courses, but you didn't have a proper band.
We had music singing courses, you know, the choir, school course or choir. But no, we didn't have a band. And so they were able to participate in that, and there were just so many more opportunities. You know, a modern library, business courses with, you know, good typewriters and that sort of thing. So they did benefit, you know, from it, and I think that made it much more positive experience for them.
What was done to that Banneker building right after it closed?
They tore it down.
And there was no need for it in the district?
And it was sad because it was a well-built building.
It wasn't that old then, mm-hmm. 20?
Mm-hmm. About 30-some years
30,
old, maybe.
Okay.
But it was brick in structure and, you know, well-built. But they tore it down and put the housing units, which did benefit a lot of people. Because, you know, some of the houses were not in very good condition, and people were able to live there, lower rent, and have, you know, good housing.
Is it down here? Was Banneker?
It's, let's see, you turned on Pleasant, didn't you?
I think so.
Okay. The housing section of where Banneker was north of where you were. Pleasant, let's see, Mill 10, 2 blocks north of Pleasant Street was where Banneker School was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I just thought I should ask this. Did you know in the school desegregation story in the area, Judge Max Swinford was pretty instrumental. Can you tell me a little bit about how you knew him or what you knew about him?
I knew him by when I lived in the community as he was Judge Max Swinford. His son and my brother played football together in high school.
Is that John?
That was John.
Okay.
Yeah, that was John. His sister, Sally Kenny, and my sister, Teresa, were born the very same time at the local hospital.
The judge's daughter.
The judge's daughter, Sally.
Okay.
Sally Kenny is her name now. And my brother, of course, went to school with all them. You know, my sister and I had already graduated, so we didn't go to school. But he went to school with John and Sally and all of them. And, yes, Judge Max Swinford was, you know, one of the ones that did help as far as, I think, the school board or whatever, as far as, you know, trying to get integration accomplished here in Cincinnati.
Was he... I think he was a federal judge probably early on by the time you were, when you knew him as Judge Mack, he was a federal judge. I guess, did he just drive to Lexington to work, or?
I don't know. As far as I know, he was here at the local courthouse.
Okay.
So now, I don't know of all of the positions that he held, but they lived on Pike Street out on the east section of town in a big, beautiful white house, colonial style.
Mm-hmm.
And his children, you know, attended school here. In fact, John went to Michigan, University of Michigan Law School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't
know. Is he back here now? Or?
Oh, yes. He came back home and practiced for years, and now he has developed Alzheimer's. So he's had to give it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I knew them very well.
Well, I think that ends my questions, unless you wanted to say anything else.
Well, I guess I compare a lot, you know, with education nowadays and what it was, you know, when I was coming along. And I try to impress upon kids when they start complaining about school and this, that, and the other, you know, how much more you all have in the way of opportunity, you know, now. Doors are not shut in your faces like they were then. And you need to take advantage of everything. If you can't finish high school, go get your GED. Don't be content with, you know, slinging hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
Try to improve yourself and your status in life, you know. My education was invaluable, you know, and I'm thankful that my parents did want us to get our degrees, because my sister and I both, and she has gone on and gotten her master's at U of M, because she lives in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go any further. I had a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and when I came back home and went to work up at Harrison Memorial, I was the only one that had a Bachelor of Science degree. But yet, I was not able to get the job that I wanted, and never was able to become Director of Nursing or anything like that because of my color. So, education is very, very important, and I think that's one thing that I, you know, have learned over these 73 years of living, the importance of getting an education. And also the importance of giving back to your community. That was one thing my parents stressed, you know, that whatever you do, you need to give back. And that's where I've been blessed since I retired. I've been able to do that, to participate in community activities and, you know, that sort of thing. a lot of people say once they retire, well, I'm not going to do anything, but I just don't feel like that. I think if you've had the opportunity, you know, then you need to give back. And that was one thing our parents taught us.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.